Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have instructed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have instructed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah.
Hello, hello, hello. Oh, yes, I'm on. Tēnā koutou wānau. Haere mai ki te whare karakia. Brothers, sisters in Christ, welcome you all to the space, to church. And for those who don't know me, my name is Mark. I'm married to Carol with my three children, Jacob, Ishton, and Sophia. They're all here at church. It's my pleasure and my honor to be here sharing God's word with you. And why I'm here, I'm here because a few years ago, I feel that God is calling me to do something more for him. And there was a passage in the scripture saying the harvest is plentiful, but workers are few. So in response to that, I talked to Caleb about it, about these things God had put in my heart. And he put me through something called discernment process, where a group of priests and psychologists and a few others will have interview with me, and we pray for the direction where to go from here. And so I went away in a weekend away, a few weeks ago, with a few others close to Wellington, and it's the result that the clergy has discerned that I have calling to be a priest. So I'm now in the ordination process. I'm yet to work out a training program with Caleb, who will be my mentor. So in due course, I will be like Adrian and Michelle, have a call out at some stage. So I do need your continued prayer and support. The future is exciting, but also, you know, scary, a bit scary. So if you can, you know, keep me in your prayer, I'll be very much appreciated. Today, again, it's my privilege to be here sharing God's word with you. I don't claim that I know more than most of you. A lot of you have heard more sermon than I have listened. But I pray that God will give me revelation and I have something to share with all of you. If there's a point you can take home that's going to draw you closer to God, and that's good. So we've just read a passage in 1 Kings chapter 17. You all had a time to share with each other what stood out to you. So I won't make you do that again. But I want to talk about a few characters in this passage. And I'm going to use whiteboard. I'm not you know, terribly good with that. I'll try to keep up with my message and write it on a whiteboard. When I was up in Auckland during school holiday, which I often go up there, I got family up there. Last weekend, I was visiting my sister's church. We arrived at the church, and my kids decide they don't want to go to Sunday school, so they sit through the sermon with me. During the sermon, this preacher was talking about, you know, being inspired by the Lord, you know, being fired with the Lord. And he kept on saying, brother and sisters, brother and sisters. And my 9-year-old daughter looked at me and said, why is he calling us brother and sister? We're not brother and sisters. He should be saying, ladies and gentlemen. And I laughed. I said, yeah, you're not wrong. But, you know, in Jesus, we are family. So we are brother and sisters. And how beautiful is that? And so we are family. And we support each other. We love each other. We pray for each other. All right. Thank you. So today in the scripture, there are a few characters. I want to talk about each character. And we have a time of reflection on where we are with our journey of faith. So who are those characters that you could remember? Elijah. The widow. God. Yes, God. And Ahab. Yes. So these three people are... let's write them down. Okay, so we've got a chart. You know, I'm going to do fill in the gap. So we'll put Elijah in the middle, and we'll put the widow. We'll put the King Ahab at the end, eh? King Ahab. All right. Okay. So there's three people here. All right, now before we go any further, let's talk about a little background, a little history. You know, at this point in time, Israel, the people, you know, God's chosen people, because of their sin, they turned away from God. So the kingdom's divided into northern kingdoms, still called Israel, and southern kingdom called Judah. And this story happened in the northern kingdom, Israel. So at that time, Israel is going through a series of kings until Ahab. He is the seventh king. And how did the Bible describe these kings? It's wicked king after wicked king after wicked king. And then it comes to Ahab. All right. Now, how did the Bible describe Ahab? Let's go back to the previous chapter, chapter 16. In the previous chapter 16, verse 30, that's how Ahab was described. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. But he was the worst yet of a series of wicked kings. And it carries on saying he also married Jezebel, daughter of the king of the Sidon, and began to serve Baal and worship him. So why does he marry the neighbor's king's daughter? He did that for alliance purpose, for political, for military strategy. So now we're in-laws. If somebody come to fight me, you'll come to my rescue. All right, because of that, he's seeking assurance from the neighbor country. And as the result, this idol Baal was brought into Israel. And he's calling on his people to worship Baal. What is Baal? Baal is, they believe him, it's a sky god. It's the god of weather. So by worshiping God, Baal, he will bring good rain, give us a good crop, and give us good economic prosperity. That's why they worship Baal. And the problem is not the worship idol only, it's the ritual that comes with it. Worshipping Baal, inside Baal's temple, it involves infant sacrifice. Unbelievable, isn't it? And not only that, you know, they practice, you know, sexual activities inside the temple, hoping to bring fertility. So there's a lot of wicked ritual goes with it. So in God's eyes, God detested this. So Ahab, because of what he wants, you know, alliance with a neighbor country and prosperity, he brought Baal in and he wanted people to worship Baal. So at this time in history, people's heart was far away from God. They're worshiping Baal. And as if the true worship for this true God is completely eliminated from Israel. That's when Elijah comes in. All right, so let's look at Elijah. Who is Elijah? Elijah is regarded as the biggest prophet in the history of Israel. All right, if we carry on reading 1 Kings, which I encourage you to do so, you will see how many more miracles he performed. And through that, and he's able to bring God's word to this country. And the role of a prophet is to proclaim God's will, which we will read very soon. And Elijah, he is very highly regarded in the Bible. And remember when Jesus was having his transfiguration on the mountain, Elijah is one of the two that meet with Jesus. That's Elijah, which is the represent all the prophets or the prophecy, and Moses, who represent all the laws in the Bible. So Elijah is very highly regarded. Now, this prophet, let's have a read. What is it? What's the introduction the Bible has given it? It says in chapter 17, verse 1, now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead. That's it. Elijah from Tishbe. Not even Fakapapa, not even who his father is. So very humble introduction for this mighty prophet of God. So in contrast, I'm going to use my whiteboard here. Let's look at the background, okay? Background. King Ahab, he is the son of Omri. And Omri used to be a commander before he became king. So we believe King Ahab had a kingly upbringing. He would have had a lot of military training as well. So he had a good, upbringing. Well, Elijah, he had a very humble introduction in the Bible, wasn't it? And Elijah, do you know what the name means? It means Yahweh is my God. And that is his name. Yahweh is my God. So that's these two characters that we can see right here. So when Elijah comes in, the prophet receive the message from God before they go out and proclaim to the people. So Elijah had heard from God, go to King Ahab and tell him this. So at the very beginning of Elijah's ministry, the very first sentence, his opening statement to King Ahab is, this is what he said, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve." So he went to King Ahab, as we just said, he's a wicked king, the worst one yet. He went to him, deliver a message that he does not like to hear. And that's a risky job, isn't it? He put his life on the line. We remember John the Baptist, he went to Herod and accused Herod, saying, "It is wrong you marry your brother's wife." And what happened to John the Baptist? He was thrown into jail, and then later on, he was beheaded. So Elijah here, he's put his life on the line to go and deliver this message. But there, he trusted the Lord has got everything worked out. And he obeyed God's command. In front of King Ahab, he said, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives." At that time, it feels like the true worship of God is completely eliminated from Israel. He was there saying, "Hey, guys, God lived and he's still living. Whom I serve." He's telling Ahab, "I'm serving God. I'm not serving you. There's one greater than you. Whom I serve is God." So he's proclaiming God's word in such boldness, fearless passion, because he knew who God is. He trusted the Lord, has got everything worked out, and he obeyed God's command. He went there, delivered the message, saying that there will neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. And because of your wickedness, King Ahab, because the sin you put Israel in, if you don't repent, there is going to be no rain. It's irony, isn't it? We just talk about Baal is the god of sky, is the god of weather. And here Elijah is saying that it's going to be no rain, no dew. Almost like, in your face, Baal, you know? What can you do in front of, you know, this true God of mine? So he went there, delivered the message to the king. So here, let's keep on using the whiteboard so you can be with me. So the next thing here, okay. Focusing life. What is Elijah's focusing life? It's proclaiming God's word. All right. And let's go back to blue. King Abel, what is focus? His focus is what? Security in man. Hence, he's formed the alliance. And his focus is what? Earthly wealth. And that's what led to the sin. All right. So Elijah went there. He delivered the message. Then God spoke to Elijah the second time. He said, "Leave here. Went to the east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I will order raven to feed you there." Again, Elijah trusted the Lord. He's got everything worked out. And he obeyed and went where the Lord has directed him. Let's think about a raven. Ravens are, you know, wild animals. It's not known to be tameable or trainable. And in the Bible, it describes them as unclean animals. And they often symbolize death. So if it was me, I was like, yeah, ravens, come and feed me? Really? God, you sure you got this right? Elijah didn't question God. He trusted and obeyed. He went. And truly, and things unfold as God has promised. Raven came, brought bread and meat. And it reminds me of Israel's time when they were wandering the desert. God gave them heavenly bread, manna, and God sent them quail, meat from the sky. And here God is feeding Elijah with this heavenly food from the sky, meat and bread delivered to him by ravens. But like nowadays is the Uber delivery by the ravens. And he trusted the Lord and God delivered for him. As he has promised. Praise the Lord. Back to the whiteboard. All right. Okay. So what have we got here? Belief. What's Elijah's belief? He believed Yahweh is my God. He will look after me. He will provide for what I need. He's all I wanted. He's all I need. And what is in contrast? What's King Ahab's belief? He believes in alliance. Alliance of neighbor country. He believes in self-abundance. And that lead him into worshiping Baal. That's their difference in belief. Oops, things falling everywhere. All right. So then, because the drought was so severe, there was no rain, there was no dew for a few years, the brook dried up. It dried up. And then the word of God came to Elijah the third time. What did he say to Elijah? He said, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food." All right. The first command of God was risky, go to King Ahab. The second command of God was unimaginable. Ravens come, deliver food, never heard of, never been recorded in anywhere else in the Bible. The third command is go to Sidon. Where is Sidon? Sidon is where Queen Jezebel came from. It's the base of Baal. God is wanting Elijah to go from Israel to go to Sidon, where a prophet will feed you. That's what God said. Where a widow will feed you. And widows are this type of people that is most deprived, most marginalized people in the society, because they have lost their husband. They lost their financial security, and they lost their status. And therefore, they have to rely on people to donate for their daily supply. And often it's by their male relatives. So these people, they don't have much. Hence, as we read the Bible, called us to look after the orphans and the widows because they are, their life is difficult. They are most marginalized people in the society. God called us to look after them. And yet God is saying that a widow will feed you. Oh, if you and I was like, Sidon, really, God? You want me to, you don't like Baal. You want me to go to the base of Baal, in the harbor of Baal? Really? A widow will feed me. Again, Elijah, he trusted the Lord. He's worked everything out. He went. He obeyed God's command. He went. And when he was there, truly enough, he met this widow. He asked this widow, can you please bring me some water? This widow, didn't say a word. Yeah, okay. She was probably thinking, well, I'm about to die. I can give you some water, do something kind. So she went to get her water. And before far, Elijah asked her, well, also, could you please bring me some bread? And then this lady turned around. She said, As long as your God lives, all right, she probably recognized Elijah is not one of them, it's from Israel, or she might have heard the God in Israel. So she said, as long as your God lives, and then she poured out to Elijah, I have nothing to give you. She's being honest, and she almost bawling out to Israel, I have nothing, I'm picking the last bit of stick, make the last bit of bread for me and my son. After we've eaten, we'll die. As parents, there's a lot of parents here. We love our kids. We want to make sure our kids have got enough. We make sure they have got a best start of their life, their good education, they can thrive and be successful, when they grow up. And here, all this widow can supply for her son is a last meal. They can feel the sense of desperation, sense of sadness here. I got nothing more for you, Elijah. I have a last meal. So, let's keep using the whiteboard. The background, this woman was deprived. She was marginalized. And she lived in Sidon. So she was deprived, not by her choice. She was marginalized, not by her choice. She lives in Sidon, where Baal was worshipped, not by her choice. But that is her background. Her focus in life is livelihood. Well, in this case, the last meal. This is all she has to worry about. What she believed? She believed there is no future. Death is upon her and her son. That's what she believed. So in this sense of desperation, Elijah, how did Elijah respond to her? She said, Elijah responded in a calm voice, say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go home, do as you have said. Then he gave her instruction. But first, make me some bread. And then make some for you and your son. All right? And here comes the message of hope. Here comes the promise. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So here he delivered the message of hope to this woman, and he gave her the prophecy that the Lord will bring rain on the land when it's time. It's the Lord, it's my God, not your Baal. So here, and the woman responded, she heard the word, she believed what Elijah said. She chose to believe, and she obeyed, and she went and made Elijah a bread. I presume she used up everything. And can you imagine, she went back to her kitchen, opened the jar. There's still flour in there. I remember it was gone. She poured the jug of oil. Still some flour out. Remember I used that for this man? And day after day after day, she never ran out. It's always enough for the day. So that's amazing, isn't it? So what did they experience at the end? Elijah threw his trust in the Lord, and he obeyed the Lord. He was able to experience God's supply throughout. What did this widow experience? She heard the God. She heard the word. She chose to trust in this man, trust in the Lord. She obeyed, and she get to experience God's provision. What about King Ahab? I believe when Elijah delivered the message to him, that is not just a message of judgment. But there was also a message of reminder saying, look, King Ahab, you have done things wrong. It's an opportunity for you to turn back. There was opportunity for you to repent and make good with God. All right, there was opportunity for him, but we saw him. He didn't do anything. Elijah gave the message, delivered the message. King Ahab didn't respond. So what did he experience? He was unrepentant. As the result, there was drought. And there was suffering. When King Solomon first finished the temple, when King Solomon first finished building the temple, everybody was celebrating at the temple. And he gave it a great prayer. This is one of the prayers. King Solomon said, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray towards this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servant, your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. So that was the prayer of King Solomon. Lord, we have done wrong. When we turn back to you, listen to us. Send rain. So this was the message to King Ahab. He didn't do anything. He was unrepentant. Therefore, the drought really came and people suffer. So we see these three characters. Let's take a moment to reflect Where are we with our journey of faith? Are we like the widow? We might not have had a personal relationship with God, but today we heard the message. Are we going to put our trust in this living God? Are we going to obey what he says? As a result, we'll be able to experience his provision. Or are we like King Ahab? We have heard the word of God. We have a very good upbringing, but we chose to turn away from God. We chose to seek men's security in men. We chose to chase earthly wealth. We chose to worship others other than God. Or my prayer is that we're all like Elijah. We're God's people. We bear God's witness. We trust the Lord. We obey God. We pray that's us. Look, through Elijah's trust obeying the Lord, he was able to minister to this widow. He was able to show him who is in control, who is the Lord, who can provide for your need. He's able to minister to this lady. And through his ministry, he was able to go to the top man and tell him, look, you have done things wrong. Come on, come back to God. It's never too late. He was able to do that. But we see two different responses. This lady chose to trust and obey, and her life was different. Her life, her need was met by this living God. While King Ahab, he chose to still carry on with his way, suffering drought carries on. But Elijah, he really lived up to his name. Yahweh is my God. And throughout his ministry, he get to experience God over and over firsthand. And God never let him down. So brother, sister, where are we in our journey, in our walk with our God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're the creator. You have made everything, Lord, and you love us. Lord, today, through this passage, Lord, we pray that you help us to reflect on where our walk is with you. Lord, if we haven't had any relationship with you, Lord, you called us to come back to you. If we have heard you, we have a relationship with you, but we turn away, Lord, you say it's not too late to come back. I'm here for you. I love you. Lord, we pray each of us will fix our eyes on you, acknowledging you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and help us to live a life that trusts in you and obey your command. And we want to be a good witness for the society. We want to tell them, Lord, in you we have hope. In you there are promises. You are the way, you are the life, you are the truth. Thank you, Lord. We pray that as we go forth from here, Lord, your message lives in our heart and help us to make good responses towards you, towards drawing close to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.